I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, here today with some spectacular co-hosts. We've got the early morning Mark.
Oh, hi.
And of course, we've got the wonderful, as always, Shark Finnegan.
Hello!
And we're here to bring you another wonderful episode of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And this isn't in between today. This is a video game.
It's a lot of a different video game. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I miss talking about the in-between stuff, but... Because, like, my life has been trading card game, like, competitively for a little while. Mostly because I don't know, like, now, the problem is Seth got me back into it after I got money, like, adult money. And so I could, like, afford to go get Pokemon cards. And pretty much, like, any Pokemon card I want.
Good. Yeah, then being an adult is great, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, right? When I was in grad school and I wasn't making real people money, like, I would only play, like, super budget decks. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that was way back in the day. That would be, like, well, I say way back in the day, but it was, like, end of XY era, early Sun Moon era I was playing. Mm-hmm. And so, like, breaks were a big thing, which was kind of cool. That was a lot of fun to play around with, because, like, the Greninja break deck was actually pretty cheap at the time. And then you had, I think that was the most expensive deck I ever built, was the Greninja break deck, and I think I spent, like, $40 on it, maybe.
Mm.
And then... There was, we had ended up pooling like a couple shamans, which made our lives way nice, because way back in the day, kids, there was a card called Shaman that was almost required to be competitive in the Pokemon TCG, the Shaman EX, and it used to cost $50 for one card, but you'd want to probably play four of them in every deck. Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, they've had some print issues with some of the, like, the newer sets where, like, the pull rates are really bad. Like, in Evolving Skies and stuff, the ones with, like, all the evolutions people want, the pull rates aren't as great as they would want them to be. So, the same thing happened with another set, it back then, called Evolving Skies. Or, not Evolving. Evolving Skies is the one that just came out. It was called Roaring Skies back then.
Oh, yeah. I remember the Roaring Skies commercial. The freaking Jigglypuff. Or Igglypuff.
They had, what is it called? They had pull rate issues as well there. And so, it was, like, really hard to get these Shaman EXs. Which helped, you know, skyrocket the price. And Pokemon is surprisingly pretty good about reading the meta, and they're doing actually really well now, for the most part. Where, like, if they see a card that's, like, exploding in popularity, right now we'll get what's called, like, a V battle deck. A league battle deck. Like, we just got the Mew one back in November. And that is, like, mostly a playable deck for, like, $30. Mm-hmm. And
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you need, like, a couple more cards to, like, make it truly, like, it's full form, but for like $40, you could have the deck that won regionals last week, you know, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and I think I saw that there was a Calyrex Ice one out right now or something. Maybe I'm misremembering.
It's not Calyrex Ice right now. They had one a while ago. There was a Calyrex Ice.
Okay, maybe it's
one.
The older one I saw.
The one that just came out was Palkia.
Oh, Palkia, that's what it was. I knew it was a water, like, a legend water. And I mean, that's still pretty, I think, at least in and out of the meta, but it's still up there.
Palkia is, like, more on the edge. Like, I would say it's more of, like, a tier 2-3 deck right now. But mm-hmm. I think with the new set, it might see a resurgence. All right, with the new set, I mean, not the new deck, the new set, because we get, like, the Chi and Pao EX, which just, like, lets you grab two energy from your deck at any point.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps out, Palkia. And if you can find it with Irida, like, it just gets really nasty. So, like, I think we might see a resurgence, and it might even see play later on. There's this really cool Blastoise EX coming out that's actually going to be pretty good.
Oh, is it from the Japanese set, or is it
it's in the Japanese set that's coming out. Every year, the TCG, and I'm sorry to turn this into TCG talk, listeners, but every year in the TCG, there's usually four sets, and then there's usually like a fifth set that is kind of like this extra bonus one, because you can't go buy packs of it, right? You have to go buy like a box with packs in it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those sets, like right now, is Crown Zenith. Like, that's the latest example of that. Pokemon Go was another one of those. And so they're going to come out with another set. It's all about the original 151 Pokemon, which feels like we're beating a dead horse now, because I feel like almost every other year now we get a set that's just about the original 151. And like, Pokemon Go kind of felt that way, because it was mostly OG Pokemon that were in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a time. Yeah, I don't know.
That Blastoise is gross.
That Blastoise is actually really good, and you could probably wombo combo it with the Palkia.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, no, I turning it a little bit back to some Puckle stuff. I was competing in the TCG tournament we're having, and I'm now 1-3.
Oh,
you know, we played each other, I think, week two. You know, I'm just running the same deck.
Yeah.
So my matchup is versus because I'm running Arcanine EX.
Yeah.
Because that was just the first deck I played on TCG Live. And I'm like, I like this deck. It's like, when it runs, it's consistent. So
when it doesn't brick, it's good. 70% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
And like, really, like, honestly, it's bricked more the past like 3 weeks than it has ever. Like, it had like, because usually within like 2-3 turns, I get, you know, I get Entei out, I get Arcanine out, I get Bibarel or Armor Rouge out to be able to feel that engine of being able to do stuff.
Yeah.
But my deck doesn't really KO Arceus VMAX consistently. Oh, that 280 is always an issue.
You need more choice belts.
Yeah, I think I'd probably need to throw in more choice belts. I have I have a one-off in it, so I just haven't tweaked it. I probably need to throw another one in there. But this last week, you know, 1-2, trying to survive, and it was a Palkia Calyrex deck. Yeah, and I was like, oh god, yeah, no, I lost it on the word go, but still, I was at least decently competitive first game, despite the disadvantage. But
when we played, I was actually surprised at how well that ran. Like, that ran better than I thought it would.
Right,
because in my mind, it's just like a pile of fire type Pokemon, and the way it ran, it was more consistent than I expected.
It's really consistent. It's just like, because Entei at least is a good starter mon to at least, you know, be able to draw you cards to at least ensure that you get, you know, get the Professor's Research to refuel everything.
I mean, you look at just like any of the Maridon decks out there right now, they're doing the same thing with the Raikou, right? Like, so the Raikou and the Entei are essentially the same thing.
Exactly. They help at least get you that early game, get you set up, and then you can be able to position out your big beater that you want to use, and then just go to town.
Yeah. What about you, Mark? You been up to anything? I know we were talking TCG, so like, it's hard to be like, man, I really like cardboard.
Well, yeah, it's a little hard for me to have that conversation at this time.
But, I know. Until we like bring you into the cult.
Indoctrinate
right?
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know, honestly, recently, well, and I guess it's today's topic, just been waiting for home to happen so I can start engaging with the game again. Yeah, I had nose surgery last week, so I kind of laid me up for a while.
Oh, no. And, are you okay? Everything good?
No, I'm actually doing pretty good. It was good to get a break, though, because I don't know if you guys know this. I've been just going crazy with gardening and landscaping this year.
No, and I did not know that, actually.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think I remember seeing some of the stuff in the Discord. Shout out.
Oh, yeah. Puckle Discord. I think TBG and I were sharing flower pictures on that.
He actually does. He does like a cool bunch of masonry for fun, which is actually really cool.
Does he?
Yeah. Oh, well, not for fun. Yeah. I think he does it for a living. But
oh, okay.
But I think then it comes back home.
It was, it was a good chance for me to stop working outside. The doctor was like, "You cannot do more digging. Please don't." So it gave me a chance to just like not go out. You know, because like that's been a lot of my like spare time lately. It's been going out, and I've been like removing my lawn out front for the most part. Putting in flower beds. Yeah, just kind of making the place more enjoyable. So, yeah, just been working on that quite a bit. I planted in the backyard. Well, we had two big trees that got removed in this early spring. Mm-hmm. And I've been, like, going nuts trying to, like, plant native plants back there and make a little pathway. And it's just been a lot of work. So, it's nice to actually play Pokemon again. So, I'm really glad home finally happened.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun for, like, OU and stuff, too.
Yeah, oh, I think there's some good options.
Yeah, there will definitely be a tiny bit of, like, touching on that. I know next week, I know Seth's is probably biting at the lip here just to be able to tell so much that's going on right now. It's actually really exciting right now.
I think we're doing TCG this time. I think it's TCG week next week.
Is it TCG or is it... let me double check.
Please double check for me.
I thought it was OU.
Please double check.
We'll let you. If it is TCG, then I will tell you everything about OU. If not, I'll save some of that for next week.
Yeah, because TCG is. I thought it was TCG because we have the new set coming out literally next week. So it'd be timely. That's what I thought.
That would be timely.
Yeah. Maybe I should force it to be the other one. But yeah. All right.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, we'll wrap it up here anyway.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up. Yeah.
Wait, really quick. I want to call out the fact that we finally did it.
What do we do?
This is the Shark and Mark episode we've been talking about for like seven
months. Oh my gosh, it is the Shark and Mark episode.
Yes.
Shark and Mark in the morning.
We've been wanting to do a collab here for like 7 or 8 months, I think. I think it was like all the way back in
November. That has been a joke. That's true.
It has been, and we've been trying to get it to happen.
Yeah, because there was the ill-fated April Fool's episode.
It's so weird because we all talk all the time together. And so it's really weird to realize like, oh, there hasn't been like a published show with this combination of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. All right.
Anyways.
Yeah. That's a good thing to point out. On that note though, mm-hmm. we do have some news to talk about. So let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to the news. There's news things. Pokemon shirts at Original Stitch are no longer going to be available come June 12th. The the website itself is like crashing like crazy because everybody wants to get their shirts now. I feel like it's one of those purchases that everybody's just kind of put off because of the price point.
Yes.
And so now there's a flood, right? Because like the price point is kind of nutsos. It is like, it's like $100-something for a shirt, which it is a nice shirt as an owner of one said shirt. I may try to go get a second one. We'll see.
Give us a chance. The people who don't have any yet.
I mean, go, giving you a chance right now. Original Stitch is shutting down though, which is kind of a bummer. Yeah. I kind of hope they find something else like this because it's a really cool idea. It's very similar to like the Sitting Cutie idea. Mm-hmm. Where like every Pokemon's available, and maybe they can take the Pokemon themselves can take those designs and then work with somebody else to do it again. Original Stitch is also a weird site to do it with because it is Japanese based. So if you buy the shirts, the sizes are in the Japanese sizing, not in the US sizing. Which there is a difference. Like a large in Japan is like a medium in America.
Oh yeah, no, 1000%.
So just like a heads up, if you plan on doing that, it is a nice shirt though. Owning one, it is a very nice shirt. I really like it. The fabric is really nice.
All right. If you're planning to go to Worlds as a spectator, you have to apply by June 7th, to be able to get into the little lottery to be able to get your spectator pass.
That's the Wednesday after release of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is kind of like, I'm very unsurprised based on the fact that this is Japan. Japan does this kind of stuff a lot where they just like have you go into a lottery. Like, especially if you pay attention once again to the TCG, they have like a lot of cool products that come out, but there's only X number of products. And so what you do is you have to sign up for a lottery as in a chance to get one. Like, you have to sign up for a lottery for the chance to buy a thing, which is kind of insane to think about. So worlds being in Japan, this makes sense.
Yep. It at least feels like you're not like punished for, you know, waiting or whatnot. But then it's like, well, what if I never even had a chance to begin with?
And especially it's international travel. And if you're in the US, right, like you've got 2 months, right, before that happens. And you got to plan international travel. The seat choice on those planes is not going to be good. It is not going to be good. As someone who is going to Japan. I planned my trip to Japan already for this year in October.
Oh, yep. You were already set.
So. Yeah, I'm going. Well, because I'm not going to Pokemon Worlds. I'm just like, what's the one? If I'm in Japan, I'm going to do something different than what I can do in Columbus, Ohio. right?
What?
Because like NAIC is pretty close to Worlds. Oh, right. Mark, you get the next two. Get to be lucky.
Yay. So speaking of that, on August 10th, there will be a free live stream concert the day before Worlds.
Do we have details for this concert at all? Or is it just
I think it's supposed to be like orchestral music type.
Okay. That's fair. That's a reasonable. I just didn't know if it was going to be like randomly Post Malone sings a Hootie and the Blowfish cover. You know what I mean? Like that. That's what I'm worried about.
Also, moving on to Scarlet and Violet news. Hey, Pokemon Home successfully released.
Yay!
The moveset stuff is regulated, so that you can learn what game you're transferring to. So Scald whoever wrote this says Scald remains very limited in SV as right now.
Good.
Yeah.
So actually, I noticed that good quite though. A bit messing around. That there's a lot of stuff that's pretty limited at the moment.
I kind of enjoy like the quote unquote move reset, if that makes sense. Because the thing that was getting really bad, and I mean, I think it's actually really obvious in something like Let's Go Pikachu, of all places. Is that every Pokemon used to get access to like Toxic.
Oh yeah.
And every Pokemon doesn't need access to Toxic. We don't need to make it possible so every Pokemon could be like the stalliest Pokemon of all time.
But why not?
Because I think it makes play less fun, if that makes sense. I don't know. Because then each Pokemon...
You can bring whatever to be a Stallmon. That'd be great.
It's it's meh, in my opinion, but...
Yeah. You have other things as well, whatchamacallit.
I think at a higher level, it makes things like Landorus the best counter for Landorus.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it loses some other moves. It doesn't get... Yeah. You can't use Hidden Power Ice against your other Landorus.
No, but you get
Terra.
They can't
use Defogs. Defogs are gone.
Good.
Yeah, just like Stealth Rock Defog U-turn.
As it should be.
Hey, that's all you need in life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... No, I like I said, I've noticed that quite a bit, just messing around, because there was, just sort of rebuilding move sets for some of the mons that I moved over. I guess this is probably getting into our topic.
Yeah, but, I've got a lot of comments about this for our topic today.
Anyways, maybe like we should stop there.
I have a lot to talk about in terms of our topic today when it comes to these things, because I have I have some opinions that make me both feel icky and not icky.
It's a mixed bag for sure.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Yeah. Who's next? Is it me? Oh, Regulation D has been announced for VGC. And it's going to run from July through September, leading to a speculation that the DLC will probably release in September. Because then we'll get new mons, and then we'll get Regulation E. Non-restricted transfer Pokemon will be legal. So it is a pay-to-win scenario now.
Yay.
Walking Wake and Iron Leaves remain banned alongside the Box Legends and Mythicals. Also see Summer League. That's true. I guess we could do that for Summer League. I haven't even thought about Summer League. I don't think we've been doing any recruitment for that or anything.
I think it's still early stage, but I guess this is a little teaser of what's probably to come.
Yep. Absolutely.
Join the Discord. Get yourself
join
ready.
The Discord. Yeah, have fun. Yeah.
It's probably going to be doubles.
Prepare for doubles. All right. You get the next one, Shark.
All right. So with the home drop, Smogon Hat and Showdown have been updated to have the new mons. And within 25 hours, the first ban happened, which was Reggie Alecki.
Yep.
Because, fun fact, giving Reggie Alecki another coverage move to deal with ground types is a bad idea.
What?
What? Yeah, no. It's completely unsurprising it went as fast as it did. But, yeah, that... Yeah, with that... And plus, you could sub as well to scout. So, like, oh, you bring in your Landorus and you Terra Water. You sub in front of it so you know it's Terra Water. Now I can just bolt forever.
Cool.
You know, it's that kind of defensive strategy. It's like, ooh, yeah, no.
Thanks, so, guys. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, that's completely unsurprising. But, yeah, Magearna is likely the next one because, fun fact,
shock,
there are not many fairies.
Shock.
And Magearna is leaps and bounds better than everything else.
Yeah.
Poor Magearna.
Turns out that Steel Fairy is one of the best types.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thunk? Right.
And when it can do everything good, it's a problem. Trick Room, Stored Power.
Rusted Sword and Rusted Shield are in the game, right? For Zacian and Zama's.
Yes, you do get to. Yeah. Yes, both Zama's. Both Zamas are in OU right now, which are on the radar.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
they're not as bad, though, as, like, Zacian. So, like...
They're not as bad, but the fact is now they've got Body Press.
Well, which it should have had the entire time, but that's...
It should have had the other time.
It's shocking that it's not until Gen 9 that it got it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm absolutely shocked that that's the case. So, yeah. All right. Well, moving on, if people care, there's a mystery gift for a Bronzong because of the Japan Nationals that took place this coming week, it's taking place this coming weekend. The code's probably going to go live on Friday or something like that.
Why Bronzong?
Probably because it was on somebody's team.
Oh, yeah.
They did well with it.
That was usually how it goes, right?
That's just how it goes. And it's always just like a random Pokemon from their team, not like the one they're just like, this is the one that helped me win. It's just like, we picked.
Right. No, there was the Palafin was one that won. I think the Garganicle that was released before was one. But yeah, Bronzong, yeah, no, that seems a little out there.
Yeah, I think they like literally just, I swear they just roll a six-sided die and they go,
should have picked
that's the one.
Actually, why did they put Fluttermane? Fluttermane's the Landorus of VGC at the moment.
Right? No, we can't level the playing field. All right. Also, Leafeon releases in Unite on June 8th. So, yay. Okay. Pokemon Go. Shark City wanted to talk about this.
I figure I could speed through this one pretty quickly for everybody. So now, it's June 1st, new season. It is the season of Hidden Gems. In the trailer, you've got Carbink teased as well as a few other things, but...
Is Carbink not already in the game?
Nope.
No. Well, it is now. Well, not in Pokemon Go, no. It just not got added.
I swore it was.
It's in Pokemon Home. It's one of the Pokemon Home transferable Pokemon.
It is one of the Pokemon Home transferable ones.
That's true.
But no, it's not in. It has not come to go yet. It's one of the few. There's still quite a few Gen 6 mons that aren't in there, I think.
Which is super weird.
No, Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go has just stopped caring what gen they're on, I think.
Right. They're just releasing whenever and whatever they want.
Because they've got to confuse us. Because if not, we'll notice that they're almost out of new content to add to the game. And because they're very close, right? Like Gen 7's out. A lot of it is, at least. They're almost done with Gen 6. We did just finally get Kecleon to finish Gen 3.
Yeah, we got Kecleon, so Gen 3 is done. That's officially done. Gen 4, we're missing Fionn, Manaphy, and Arceus.
Yep.
I think we actually got all Gen 5.
Yeah. We're very close.
We might have them all. I think
the problem for a lot of people is that the monkeys are regionals.
Yeah, I think it's just, I'll say regionals is a thing.
Yeah, they've been letting those be available in events pretty regularly, though.
Yeah, regionals are the only thing that make me go, I don't like this. I prefer...
I kind of like it, but if you could trade with people that aren't right next to you.
That, and I think it would also be really cool. I don't know, like, they did a really cool thing with Zangoose and Seviper early on, where, you know, those are regionals, fun fact, Zangoose and Seviper. And what they did was, when they first came out, there was like a 3-week period where like they were swapped, and then they swapped them back, and then they swapped them to what it is now.
Yeah, and I think they'll still, there's a few regionals they'll do that with. Lunatone and Solrock, they literally switch every summer solstice, lunar solstice.
Yeah, I wish we would get more like that, like where the regionals would rotate more frequently.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
I will say this, though. I made an effort to get, which one was the grass monkey in Korea when I was there.
Yep.
And then it became available like the next month after I got home.
Oh,
and
yeah. Like, because really? Go.
Yeah.
Or Go Fast, excuse me, which that is happening. They have announced those, I think.
You can buy the tickets
New York
in-game.
If you want. It's like August.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the physical event. For so many reasons.
God, no.
Yeah.
I remember the first
cool,
one.
Looks cool, but I understand.
Like, I wouldn't. I don't know. I'm not going to waste my time for something like that. I know that there are people who like doing it. I know there's some great people in our community who are really into it, but I just, no. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to travel for that.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got?
All right. This week, we're going to have the first of, technically today is the first event, but Saturday, the day of recording, which actually you get like research to get like shiny gold Pokemon, like Caterpie and Magikarp. But the actual long running one, Water Festival, Beach Week, runs from June 6th through the 12th, which introduces Sandygast and shiny Clauncher.
Cool.
Yeah. And they're, yeah, so a bunch of cool water types, and even during the little like 1 hour Tuesday evening time frame where they do just that like mini community day, they have like four water types that are just going in that time, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's like that's different, cool. But that'll be good. And then community day, June 10th, and it's gonna be Axew with Breaking Swipe as its as the move.
Cool.
So, yeah.
All right. I'll probably catch some of those.
Yeah,
if I remember.
Though, Axew is like, oh, that's not bad. That's Axew's hard to get one.
Axew's a good one.
Axew's always good to have.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The problem is they always run these like when I'm doing things. So sometimes I'll log in like, oh, there's like a million of these surrounding me right now.
I miss when community days were 6 hours long. Just because.
I miss it too.
I don't understand. I understand like them doing all of their raid stuff where they're just like, oh, we're limiting raids so you go outside. I don't think that limiting community day times prevents me from going places and going outside.
If anything, it helps you do more.
In fact, I think it inhibits that, right? Because I go, I don't want to go stress out for 3 hours trying to catch things. 6 hours, I go, yeah, I can go catch things. Like,
right.
It'll be
also,
fun.
Also, we have plans on weekends.
Yeah,
that's be flexible.
Yeah, I just like a little bit more, like would be fine. Or even if they just like ran it from 2 to 5 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah.
Because a big thing for me was my wife for a while was working Saturdays and she wouldn't get done with work until 2 o'clock or 2:30. So like then it's just like, oh, well, we just ate through like the first hour of community day. So is there even a point to like try to drive somewhere and go play at like a park or something? And the answer is like, not really.
Yeah.
So we just would never do it. So I don't know. Pokemon Go, just fix it. Make it better. It better.
Yeah.
And then last piece of news for you, Mark. I think we've already said it, though.
Yeah. I like how you give me the TCG news.
Yeah, you like it. You like the card.
Yeah, you love TCG.
I know anything about what's going on. Paldea Evolved releases this week.
That's
Hooray.
The new set. That's the new second set in the Scarlet and Violet block. It's got some cool goodies in it. The thing is, like, I've seen a lot of, so usually the meta changes a lot once it hits the West. But there's usually like a preview of like, because Japan's had this set for like a month or two now. And, there's usually get a preview of the meta by watching their events. And the only difference I've seen really in the meta is that people took Judge out of their decks and they put in Ayano, which is a trainer card. Reminiscent of N back in the day, N, for those of you who never played the TCG, was a really good disruption card because you'd play it and then both players shuffle their hands into their deck and they draw cards up to the number of prize cards they have remaining. So if your opponent only has one prize card left, you can like get them down to one card in hand.
Oh, yeah. That's way better than Judge. I'll say that. Because Judge F's me up whenever it
comes Judge, around. You can still, like, with Judge, you can still get the card into your hand as well. Right? Like, if it was in your hand, it could come back because you're shuffling your hand. Ayano doesn't shuffle the cards into your deck.
Oh, shoot. You're right. Oh, that's even worse. Oh, gosh.
All of you put your hand on the bottom of your deck. So that, and then draw from the top of the deck. So the cards in your hands are probably not available to you. So
it usually always happens after I like tutor for something or like Ultra Ball just because I needed to discard something. And
I completely understand. Yeah. It's, Ayano is going to be a nasty card, when it comes out this week. So definitely watch out for Ayano. Friends, watch out for Ayano. I am waiting to see what the price of the alternate art for that card does. Because it was ridiculous. It broke Japan.
It was. I saw some of the funny stuff that happened.
Yeah, it was
from
nuts.
That. Let's see. Out of curiosity, is it, we have a price already on TCG.
There's probably a price. For, what's the price on TCG Player right now for the alternate art for that?
Regular is 188.
It's going to go down to like
another listing
pennies.
Of 64, and then the special one is 174.
Yeah, oh, that's okay. So it's going to drop even more then because the set hasn't officially released yet. We'll be good. Once the set officially releases, like I would never buy a card. I try not to buy singles from a new set until at least the Monday after the new set comes out.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like Thatch's rule of thumb. And if you do that, because most cards will at least drop by half, like especially the big ones like that Ayano, because right now there's just a lot of hype surrounding it. And if it comes out in the US, I can see it being like 90, like once it settles.
Oh yeah, I think so. Right now the listings are between 174 and 474.
Now for those of you,
there's another high one, but yeah,
for those of you, this isn't like the, this isn't like the like what you need to play the game. The version that you need to play the game is probably going to end up being about a quarter.
It's $1.88 right now. And going to drop because
that's
people
drop
are going
like
to open.
Yeah, it's going to drop like a rock. So don't worry about it. But yes, Puckle's Pokey prediction. Do you think our next news drop for the DLC will be before, during, or after NAIC? NAIC, for those of you at home, is in like 4 weeks.
I think it's like it's literally just for the sake of also touching back to the Regulation D news. It is literally the weekend it would have been legal. So
yes.
I think NAIC will be Regulation C, but not D.
Yeah. Yes. So, because I think it starts on Friday anyway. So it would probably be Regulation D. But
the C,
the DLC drop though. Will the DLC news drop come before that in June?
I think it might actually be at NAIC.
There's a good chance.
It might be there, yeah.
There's a good chance only because it's coming out later than usual. If it wasn't if they hadn't already confirmed that it was coming out later than the last DLC did in this cycle, I would be like, no, we're going to get news like this week.
Yeah.
Because they used to do that. They used to be pretty good about giving us a news drop in June. And they still could with NAIC, right?
Yeah, it would technically be June/July.
Yeah, June 30th or something. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised either way.
Yeah.
I think
one thing to also consider with the Regulation D rule set, it ends September 1st. Or September 30th, excuse me. So that would mean we have no rules for October. So does that mean DLC in September?
No, I think it's coming in September, which would be fall, right? So,
that still counts.
Would be fall.
If you're going to tease the DLC in September, you drop it in June, July.
Yep.
Unless we get delays.
Yep. I don't think it'll delay. I don't think they're going to delay it. The Pokemon machine is too big. I do not see a world where they delay, I make an announcement for a date and then delay the date. Pokemon Home is slightly the exception.
Oh, well, no, if they announce the actual date, yeah, I could see that. But anyways.
Yeah, that's why they announced. They announced like time frames. I think is because when they announce the date, like that's the date. That's Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
That's Pokemon. They like we got first half of 2023 Pokemon Go right at the end, but it was there. I do fully expect though because it does look like they want both DLCs to drop before the end of the year. That we will probably get it in September because they're probably going to want like a 3 month leeway between the two.
Oh, yeah.
Because
December? Yeah.
I expect September, December. Yeah. Because especially, if it were me, right, and I was sitting in a PR office, with the way that Pokemon and video games are just like spread around social media and they all become social events for a couple weeks when something new mm-hmm. comes out, if it were me, I would want DLC to drop. You know, around between Black Friday and Christmas. Because everybody's going to be sharing all their things on social media. Like, hey, look at this cool thing I'm doing in this game. And then people are going to want to buy it. And the holidays are right there. That is my personal opinion. And I am shocked that they did not do that prior.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's
I'm absolutely shocked. I mean, that's why the game releases on Black Friday or the weekend before Black Friday. Is because all the hype builds up right before it.
Right.
So I don't disagree with that. I think that's what they should do. Just to drive more sales of Scarlet and Violet. Maybe also just make the game run efficiently, but that's a different story. All right, then. This has been the news. It's time for Puckle's Poke Quiz. So we're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz. The part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The hosts can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-host. Thank you for that introduction, Mark. You gave a wonderful introduction there to the rules.
Yes.
But of course, we're going to go ahead and get you on to some questions. Our first question this week is going to come to you from Fraz. Which Pokemon type has the highest percentage of moves with 100% accuracy? So, percentage of moves in that type.
Oh gosh,
this is a semi convoluted question because it's not hard to really figure out if you think about it real hard.
But like normal, maybe.
Like what type has the most percentage moves that are 100%?
Has that
right?
What? Yeah. What type has the most 100% accuracy moves in their type? At like as a total percentage of all moves of that type.
Percentage.
Jeez, it's not rock. It's not flying.
No, yeah, I was going to say not rock at all. This is the thing, maybe normal?
I think. Normal has some pretty inaccurate moves. So I think like Mega Kick is one.
Oh, yeah, they got
You got a couple.
Okay,
like
yeah,
it's,
that's
but
true.
The fact is there's so many normal moves, it might still have a high percentage.
Right.
That
was kind of what I was thinking.
Well, ground has a flood slap is not 100. No. Not ground. It's got a good chunk of bomb moves and such that don't hit.
Water, maybe? Well, let me think. Not water.
It could be water. Well, aside from pump and muddy water.
Yeah.
There's so many moves. It's like, what? I'm trying to think here.
Oof. Yeah, this is.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I guess we could go. Can we just go?
Just take a stab at it?
Yeah, I think we just go normal. Because I don't normal? Have any. Okay. Like, I just can't figure out a good rational other type that's like guaranteed all the big moves hit 100%.
Right.
Because there's just always a few moves that was like, well, is it more or less? I don't know.
So I mean, you mentioned normal has it too, so I guess, yeah.
I'm going to need an answer here, guys.
Let's just go normal.
Normal it is.
Normal is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is ghost.
Okay, really? I was half starting to go that route, but I was still unsure.
The only ghost type move with less than 100% accuracy is actually poltergeist.
Wow. Okay. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every other ghost type move, 100% accuracy.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. Fun fact.
Smart. Okay.
And we are on to our second question today. Our second question is going to come to you guys from Tubins. In Generation 2, whether a Pokemon is shiny or not is determined by its IVs. Which are the only two possible shiny unknown forms in Gold, Silver, and Crystal? The unknown forms are also determined by IVs, and I'm not going to lie, this is a little meta.
Oh, geez.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wait, so it's meta?
Because
this is a joke?
What do you mean?
Well, okay.
I'm just trying to give you free hints. That's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think about your free hint and see, because, right. Yeah, there's 26 letters, and two of them, like,
and it's determined by the IVs. Both things are determined by the IVs.
Are you serious? Is it really I and V?
Oh, jeez.
Is it really I and V?
Is it really I and V?
Because I was going to go for the, I was thinking it might be, like, the exclamation mark or something like that.
Well, those are the ones exist. That aren't those in Gen 2.
Yeah, those
oh,
didn't,
no, you're
those,
right.
Those were added in
you're
Gen right. 3, actually.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to just go I and V.
Let's go with that, because that just seems... That does seem funny. I'm not going to lie. That's better than, like, okay, or, you know...
Oh, yeah,
what
yeah,
other, be, you know, whatever silly like two-willed words you could come up something. With.
Yeah.
The answer is unknown I and unknown V. That is correct. Like, isn't that silly?
That is really silly.
All right. Next up is going to be from Liger. This is your Pokedex entry question. It's Ultra Sun entry reads, it swims through the ocean at the speed of 8 knots, searching for Pokemon that will become its prey. It's especially fond of Wishiwashi. Who's that Pokemon?
It's fond of Wishiwashi, huh?
What dex entry is this?
This is Ultra Sun.
Ultra Sun. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking Gen 7. What about
maybe Sharpedo?
Oh, it could be Sharpedo. It could be Sharpedo.
Swim fast and eating fish, right?
Yeah. It could also be Bruxish, maybe. But I feel like Bruxish is on other stuff. But Bruxish could be an option.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a. I don't know if that's a Bruxish entry.
Yeah. And I'm fine with, like, Sharpedo.
Yeah, we can try Sharpedo. We got 2 chances here.
Yeah.
Sharpedo is unfortunately incorrect. Your next entry is going to be from Pokemon Ruby. And it reads, this Pokemon loves to snooze on bitterly cold ice. The sight of this Pokemon sleeping on a glacier was mistakenly thought to be a mermaid by a mariner long ago.
Oh.
Dugong? Right?
I think so. I think it has to be Dugong, because I don't think it's... Because I'm thinking, like, that's a thing that happens with seals, but of course, I'm like, in my head, I'm like, maybe Celio? But...
I feel like Dugong... Because in Dugong, real life, Dugongs were mistaken for mermaids, right?
Yeah.
So, that's where my mind goes anyways. I don't know.
Yeah, I go with that. Let's do that.
Okay. Dugong.
Dugong is correct.
Nice.
That is Dugong. Good job, team. You figured it out. all right, you guys are 2 for 3. Your next question is going to be worth up to 3 points for you. There are 6 answers to this question. I will take. I will give you 1 point for each move you can name, up to 3 points. There are 6 answers. This one is going to be from Wyatt White. What 6 damaging moves have a 100% chance to crit?
100% chance to crit.
Wicked Blow.
That is correct.
Yeah, lock in. Always crits.
The ice one. Right now.
It's not.
Wait, the ice
Frost
one.
Frost Breath.
Frost Breath. Yeah. Okay.
Storm Throw. Lock those two in.
What about Surging
Those
Strikes?
Those are both
Doesn't
correct. Frost
and
Breath
Surging
and
Strikes.
Throw.
Yeah, of course. That
Surging
one too.
Strikes as well. So you guys got all the points. There's 2 more.
I'm trying to think what the other two are.
I can just give them to you if you want.
Sure.
Flower Trick, which just came out.
Okay.
And the other one you probably wouldn't get because nobody remembers anything about that game, but Zippy Zap.
Oh, right.
Oh,
Zippy
Zap.
Golly.
Yeah.
You're right. Nobody remembers that.
Yep. All right. This next question is going to come to you from Smeargle19. This is your base stat question, as always. What ground type has the highest base special attack of all ground type Pokemon?
Ground type with base special attack.
Yep.
Of all.
Of all.
Well, first instinct is Mega Camerupt.
Right. Yeah, because I'm assuming this is Megas as well, right?
Yep. As always.
Okay. So, as always.
Yeah, trying to think. What other ground... Because ground types don't have special attack. That's the thing. But there, but there are a few that do.
Yeah, Camerupt is a good... Is probably a good... good one to think about.
Who else clicks Earth Power and not anything? The question. I'm trying to think.
I think...
I mean...
It's not something stupid like Ground Arceus, is it?
It's well, you wouldn't say Ground Arceus, but it could technically be Primal Groudon.
Oh.
As dumb as that sounds, Primal Groudon probably has like 120. I think Mega Camerupt is higher, but I mean, it's not like you're talking about, it's probably number two on this list.
Oh gosh, yeah, I totally forgot about Primal Groudon. But what would that, I don't know how those two rank against each other.
I would say Camerupt has more special attack.
Okay.
Because I feel like, Camerupt's like, Mega Camerupt's like one good, I think it does have like a 150 stat, and I think it has to be special.
Oh yeah, I don't think it would be,
Primal Groudon is a physical attacker, first and foremost.
Okay, right.
So I think special attack's like 120, but like...
So do you want to go with,
Yeah, I think we just rock with Mega Camerupt because I legitimately am trying to figure out anything else that's even close, and I, like, Landorus is not. It's not Landorus.
No.
And that's the other Pokemon I can think of that just like, oh, click Earth Power instead of Earth, instead of Earthquake.
Is there something stupid from this gen?
What do we got this gen? We've got...
Maybe like Sandy Shocks? I don't know what its base stats are, though.
Sandy Shocks is not a terrible thought. Sandy Shocks might actually be number two now that you're saying that one. It's 101 speed, 130. I think it has like 130-ish special attack. It's just between that and Mega Camera. I think Mega Camera still is like 150, because I don't think it...
That makes the most sense to me, so we can lock that in if you're cool with it.
Yeah, because all the other ones are like Clodsire and... You got Clodsire, you got Great Tusks, you got Iron Treads, uh-huh. and none of those are special attackers. And you have Tinglu. Yeah.
I'm going to need an answer, guys.
Yep. Mega Camerupt.
Mega Camerupt is unfortunately incorrect. The number one answer is Primal Groudon with 150. Mega Camerupt comes in second with 145.
Dang it.
Wow, okay.
Sandy Shocks is in third with 121. Mega Garchomp is in fourth with 120, and Landorus Incarnate is in fifth with a 115.
Dang.
Yeah,
there we go.
That's pretty intense.
Groudon was a little lower, but no. I mean, it makes sense, but yeah, dang.
That's pretty high.
Yeah,
it's pretty high.
Pretty high, actually.
And the fact is,
things considered,
it still doesn't click. It clicks, you know, freaking Precipitous Blades more often than, or Earthquake even, than
Earth Power. Yeah, it's not going to go for special moves.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. But yeah, you guys ended up with 5 points there today in your race to 40. So let's go ahead and add it all in. Let me see here. That does change up our leaderboard, though. So we are going to go ahead. In first place, we have Linian with 29. In second place, Claude9 with 28. In third, there's a three-way tie between Whimsicott, Sublime, and Shark at 24. Nice. In sixth place, there's a two-way tie between Seth Vilo and Mark with 20. Hey. In eighth, there is R Sigma with 19. In ninth, there's Jushir with 13. In tenth, there's Basket with 12. And in 11th, there's Dr. Shamu with 5. First to 40 wins it. Nobody's there. All right. On that note then, guys, we are going to kick it on over to our topic.
We have another review. This one is going to be from SpartanTHX117. 5 stars, longtime listener, the first time I've ever written a review for a podcast. I first started listening to your podcast when driving to meet my girlfriend on the weekends, when neither of us had to work. Since then, we've moved in together and become engaged. The both of us have been playing Pokemon since we were kids, and we have both listened to your podcast when traveling or working around the house together. We may not score too well on the quiz part, but we always enjoy the topics and conversation between the host and guests. Keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you for that, and congrats on the engagement. If you would like your review read on the show, leave one, and it might be read. Until then, guys, we're going to kick it on over to the topic.
Welcome to our topic. Our topic today is going to be Pokemon Home, the release for Scarlet and Violet.
Yay!
Woohoo!
How it went and what we think about it.
Oh, wow. How it went.
I never thought I'd have so many opinions about this. I'm going to be honest. Like, I was kind of hoping it would be, like, non-monumental like it was with Legends Arceus and BDSP.
Right. Right.
But, like, this one has just, like, opened up so many cans of worms.
Yeah, starting last week before it actually dropped.
The fake release?
When you're talking about the fact that they announced it, and then it's like, aha, just kidding.
Oh, I blame Scarlet and Violet, like, screwing up as, like, the reason for that. Because, like, there was an issue with the raids that week on Scarlet and Violet, and I imagine there was something that was just, like, wrong, and they wanted to make sure everything was cherry on the server, so they gave themselves an extra week. I mean, which, it doesn't look good when you have to, like, fake us out, but I understand. If something's not working, like, double check.
Yeah.
But I have to say, like, so I'm gonna be, like, critical, and then, like, I kind of want to, like, have a positive opinion at the end, for a change of pace, I guess. And so, one, I think it's really awkward. Like, they did a lot of things that I find a little awkward, particularly, like, on the Scarlet and Violet side as well. And the biggest one being, like, you can't evolve Stantler or Hisuian Quillfish.
Yeah.
Or Ursaring or Scyther into Kleavor.
Yeah.
In Scarlet and Violet.
But hold on. I think that's okay because they have the backwards compatibility. And I'm totally okay with that.
I'm not entirely against it for that reason. I like that idea more for Pokemon that say, like, Hisuian. Okay, so, like, the TCG is very revealing about how the Pokemon company views certain Pokemon.
Okay.
Which is kind of, it's weird, but it's true. So, like, if a Pokemon's a regional in the TCG, there would be, like, small script, and it'll be, like, Galarian Slowbro, or like, Alolan Meowth, right? It'll say those things. And so they did it with
just like tiny text, Alolan. Yeah.
And so they do that as well with, they did that with the Hisuians as well. Like, we got Hisuian Quillfish. One that's very telling that I think don't know that a lot of people see is, the Hisuian Basculin White Stripe. That's one that was also there. So, like, Basculin White Stripe is essentially just like Hisuian Basculin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, the way to treat it, especially for, like, the Bascu Legion.
Right.
But the ones that don't say that, it's not Hisuian Ursaluna. It's just Ursaluna. It's not Hisuian Weirdeer. It's just Weirdeer. It's not Hisuian Kleavor. It's Kleavor.
Well, yeah, because they're different. They're different Pokemon. They're not regionals.
Yeah, that is true. But even if you look at Berserker, right? We look at a Berserker card. It says Galarian Berserker.
Well, because they're gonna have other regional Berserkers. Duh. They're letting us know in advance. The little Easter egg.
That's the thing that I noticed was they would call it Galarian Berserker, right?
Yeah, no, it's just because those are coming from the regional, because they are evolved directly from a regional form, except Basculin being an asterisk mark.
These are just like real Pokemon, though, and I think it's. I mean, I do agree with the backwards compatibility, which I think is the highlight of, like, all of this Pokemon Home stuff. In all honesty,
it is. They finally started working that through.
Like, I just have a minor criticism because I think they should just be able to evolve. And to be fair, so I follow a lot of the data miners on Twitter, and I really like it when new things come out like this. There apparently is, like, an empty block in the code for evolving these Pokemon.
Yep, it is evolve, like, 61 or something to that effect.
My assumption is that
DLC
will fill this in.
Oh, yeah, I'm 1000%, because if you're looking at the Pokemon that can't evolve, those are the ones that were very niche PLA-exclusive ways so far, which would be, right. You know, you're talking about using Barbarage 20 times, like, Strong Style 20 times, Agile Psy Bash, you know, Psy Shield Bash 20 times, Pete Block, and augurite, I guess. Yeah, black augurite. I think those are actually the ones. That's it.
Those are it.
I think it's just those four, right?
I believe it is just those four, which is just really awkward. It's just really awkward.
I'm not that surprised, though.
Yeah, I think it's just like, it would have been nice to have the other item already in the game. But yeah, I guess they just didn't want them to get in there.
Like, they're in the code. Like, I believe Black Augurite and Peep Block are both in the game code already, which makes it even more awkward. I don't know. It just feels funny to me, especially the thing that really bugs me is that Stantler can learn Psyshield Bash in Scarlet and Violet.
It can, yeah. It totally can. But it can't do it agile, you know.
I know. I think that's really stupid, and they should have just retconned it.
And they might. I mean, that just might be what the DLC is, like we were just saying, you know.
That's true.
Dude, we're in that world now.
We're just, I think they just want to do it right. They want to do it right because they still like, they didn't want to give, like, make a bunch of Hisuian Pokemon available right away. And they, cause you know, it's still technically a past game and they just want to like, I think they just wanted to kind of keep those just like under wraps just a little bit as they figure out how they're going to do it going forward. So I think as long as the DLC and then beyond it, I'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I do agree with Mark, though. I don't entirely disagree with because of the backwards compatibility. The backwards compatibility fixes so many issues in my mind.
Well, and that allows you to have a reason to, if you want to go send them on back to PLA.
It gives a reason, period, to go back to older Pokemon games.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gives you the ability to go back and get, you know, ribbons that you may have missed, which is really what I care about, to be honest. But like, it's one of those things that, you know, if you can still send it back to evolve, like, that's fine. I don't know.
I really like it for regionals. Hard stop. Like, I really like it for regionals.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because the thing that bugs me a lot, I mean, and this is just Alolan Pokemon in general, like, I really am bummed about, like, Alolan Marowak and Alolan Raichu.
Yeah. Yeah, Raichu.
For most of that, I believe it's kind of remedied in Pokemon Sword and Shield. Like, because you can just go do like the one for one trades in Sword and Shield for it,
mm-hmm.
Which is okay.
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's not like you're.
It's not the yeah.
No. I would really enjoy if they gave us maybe not a remake per se, but a DLC where like we go there and there's like the Pokemon evolve into their Alolan forms for some reason and we don't know.
Yeah, or just give us like an Alolan stone, like they do in Pokemon Go, yeah. Like with the Unova stone, yeah. And the Sinnoh stone. Just give us something like that, that, you know, infuse it with the power of Alola and Galar or what. Well, like I said, Galar's is fine.
Once they fix that, I have zero problem with me not being able to evolve my Koffing. Like, let's say Koffing makes it into the DLC of Scarlet and Violet. I have no problem with not being able to access, like, have an accessible Galarian Weezing if I can just send that Koffing back to Galar and just go do it.
Right.
Like, I have no problem with that. Which is also really cool, by the way. I think that's, like, super interesting.
So it does make me wonder how what the longevity of this is.
I hope it's forever-ish.
Well, I mean, because we're tying it to home, and home is on, you know, a specific system, or at least it is right now.
No, it's not. It's not, though.
It's your phone.
It's on your phone, too.
Well, yes, but I don't know. It just makes me nervous.
The server being accessible from multiple points, for me, makes it go, okay, this is probably has more longevity.
I agree. I think it definitely is going to be the thing going forward. That's the only reason why they would do backwards compatibility.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we used to think that way about, you know, another storage system we had access to.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's one of those things.
No, I think we have reason to be doubtful.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say, like, I'm optimistic, but I'm very cautiously optimistic that this is what we have going forward.
Yes, we thought that, you know, Bank was going to be the one-all system, but the fact is mm-hmm. we have proof of concept here of, yes, mm-hmm. they said this is going to be the end-all be-all, and here's the proof when now they've thrown in backwards compatibility.
I also feel a little bit better due to the fact that it also connects to Pokemon Go.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bank never did that.
No.
I would feel a little bit better if we got, like, a few more things. Like, what would make me 1000% feel better is that we get the next whatever it is, Switch, whatever Nintendo is cooking up. Like, it would make me feel better to see that. And then we go, okay, we're good. Like, this is the next thing. Pokemon Home's on it. It's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Once it transfers to another Nintendo console, I feel very confident.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing that I'm going to be looking for is what the next console is. And is this going to be available on there?
my gut feeling is that it's just going to be a Switch 2, and it's going to honestly almost look exactly like the Switch, but be
3D Switch
better.
Yeah, I think so. It's just going to be the Switch OLED, but better.
I see more of a transition from DS to 3DS in terms... I was just talking to my wife about this morning. I see a transition more like DS to 3DS coming than a transition from Game Boy to 3DS, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Wii to Wii U or Wii U to Switch, you know.
Wii U to Switch was a hard shutoff, right? Like, Wii U to Switch, but...
Yeah, that one's a huge shutoff.
I see more like a Wii to Wii U or something like that coming, because Nintendo has this habit of just, like, building on success. And the Wii U was just a massive failure because they didn't properly market it, in my honest opinion. Like, if you just call it the Switch 2, people will understand. If they would have called it the Wii 2, people would have understood.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't market it well, because my reasoning for this is very shallow, but I think makes logical sense. I'm a person who's like very obsessed with Joy-Con colors.
Yeah.
And they just announced like two new sets of Joy-Con colors coming out on the 30th.
They did, yeah.
And it's just like, one, the Switch is going to be 7 in March.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about. That's really old hardware.
It is. Mm-hmm.
The Switch is going to hit 7 in March. They just came out with Joy-Con colors, you know, a little over 6 years in.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that? Why would you spend the time developing that? Because you're probably going to come out with another Switch that just uses the Joy-Con again, or another system that uses the Joy-Con again. They did it with the Wii U.
Hopefully. I mean, that'd be great. That'd be great.
The Wii U just used the Wiimotes again.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
You can set up a system that just uses the Joy-Con again. I don't see why not. Like, the Switch is such a banger idea, and I couldn't imagine Nintendo trying to move away from the console handheld hybrid ever again.
I think so. I think that's at least their niche, and I think as long as they can keep improving the capabilities on like TV and hardware and...
Yeah, at this point what they need to do, and this isn't even Pokemon talk, but at this point what Nintendo needs to do is just go ahead and honestly finally enter like the power race, if that makes sense. And just make a Switch that is mostly compatible with, I mean, we've seen this come out in terms of the Steam Deck, right? Just a handheld console that is just far more powerful. And if anybody can do that, I mean, far more powerful than the Switch, I should say. I shouldn't say far more powerful, like, and make it, you know, have a 4080 inside of it or something insane. I think Nintendo just needs to get over their fear of trying to play the game that like Microsoft and Sony are playing, because they've obviously got the innovation. I think if we could just enhance the execution, it would be better. But yeah, Pokemon Home came out.
Yeah. Brought some new Mons back, so that's fun.
Have y'all brought any new Mons into the game yet?
I haven't done it yet, mostly because I've been trying to like read and figure things out, and I should probably just do it, right? Like, because like I see everything about like the move transfers and everything, and it gets me worried. But I did. It doesn't look that bad. It just feels complicated.
It's not necessarily complicated. Just something you had to get used to. One thing it took me a minute to get used to was the displays. It has different displays for each game in the actual the phone app. Anyways,
really.
So like, yeah. So I had a weird ear that I brought over from a Stantler all the way back from Gen 4, and so. Because I thought that would be fun. And so I looked at it and I was like, oh yeah, I'm just like checking everything out the first day. And I was like, oh, all of the ribbons I have are gone.
Oh no.
Oh yeah, that was something I saw
Yeah, I was talking about in general, I was like, where did my ribbons go? And then I realized after a while, I was like, oh, I have to like, depending on the game display that you have.
Yeah.
It will show you different ribbons. It'll show you the different moves that you have set. Yeah. But even that's not actually perfect, I noticed. Something about the Galar Champion ribbon doesn't show up on all of them, and it'll display as, what was it? It was a different type of ribbon. But anyways, yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. I also think it is kind of weird that they don't show all the ribbons. I get it, but just not showing all the ribbons, I don't know. It just seems a little weird to just not have that be readily available on the screen. That was just like a different thing there.
Mm-hmm.
They did finally update the models in the in Home as well, which I thought was interesting.
I saw that they made some goofy mistakes though. Like, I think
which ones?
Well, one, the Golden Go model changed from what I heard, like both the shiny and the regular one. Yeah.
I think they changed the, I think it was slight coloring thing they had to fix or whatnot.
Yeah, they did like some coloring thing. I mean, I don't know if Ilka did that themselves or somebody else did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I noticed there were some weird issues with some of the models. Like Rhyhorn had some like voids in it. So like in gaps in its armor, it was just a void, and they fixed that. They made it so there was like a lighting element to it, so it looked a little better. It's not, you know, high quality or anything, but I think the models, at least in the phone, do look better. But I'm not surprised that there's color issues. I mean, there were color issues before. There's some weird ones out there. Yeah, I mean, just the fact that we can have that backwards compatibility, I thought was pretty cool.
No, the backwards compatibility, I think, is huge, right? Like, it was very... So I talk about how like Pokemon Home now is complicated with the moves, and mm-hmm. a little bit complicated with the moves, but it's actually really crazy to think about in terms of the in terms of like Pokemon Bank, because Pokemon Bank had like weird rules where like you could bring this Pokemon back into Gen 6, but if it's been to Gen 7, it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. That little
there's like no mark for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I completely understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken a minute for me to get used to, but it is very nice to have. I mean, we also have finally the ribbon displayed from PLA as well. So the one ribbon we have there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I noticed you have to bring your Mon over into SV for it to display. So it has to make that connection first before it'll show up in Home, which I thought was interesting. So. You know, it is what it is, but we've, I don't know. I agree with you, Thatch. I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. I was honestly pretty skeptical about it connecting to previous games flawlessly. So it was nice to see that happen and nice to do it myself.
It's a complicated process for sure. Like there's still some like hiccups. I think the biggest one is they're just like really, They're not a big fan of, oh my gosh, what am I trying to say? They, like the big hiccup that I saw, and this is, I say big, it's not really that big, but what they did was they accidentally, screwed up, how Pokemon, this is Ilka's fault probably too. Like if you hyper train a Pokemon in Scarlet and Violet, you have to level 100 it before it goes to BDSP or it like freaks out.
Yeah. That was something that, yeah, it's just probably a flag that is in like, you could like flag for you can hyper train now that you hit level 100 and the same flag is used for level 150 in SV, and you just like there's something that just like, oh, this is a legal mon.
100%. Yeah, there's some like legality issues.
That makes sense to me. I know people were freaking out about it, but
yeah, don't forget BDSP had some legality issues to start. So
yeah, BDSP has only one thing going for it entirely, and that is that it has the most beautiful petal backgrounds of any Pokemon game ever. That's where it stops.
I would say one more thing with BDSP, and that is that some of the like when you fight the Elite Four again, that they're actually a little more challenging than normal games.
That is also fair.
And you can shiny hunt Arceus.
You can shiny hunt Arceus, that's right. Yeah.
That is true.
Those are like the only big things, just like that make it stand out from anything other.
Depending on how you feel, they demythicalized Jirachi and Mew.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, that's true. They did do that.
They did do that.
I have mixed opinions on that, but they did it.
You have opinions. I have literally no opinions about this.
I think, well, this is just me being from Gen 1, but I feel like Mew should continue to be mythical, even though they give it out at every opportunity.
Man, I have like. I just do not care. Like, I think that they should, I think they should demythicalize, because I think in modern times, mythical Pokemon are wasted. I really do. Okay, because mm-hmm. you look at like Zarude.
Sure.
Zarude doesn't need to exist. Like,
what are you talking about? We need more Zarudes. Come on.
Like, the really good way to handle mythical Pokemon is to make them not mythical Pokemon and make them just normal legendary Pokemon, but with stories. The Pokemon I will always use for this example are both Urshifu, which is kind of weaker, but the better one is Calyrex.
Yeah. No, I think those were handled perfectly. And I think if they did that with other ones, and I think it's fine for future game. I'm fine with it being like the paid DLC of like, oh, you can get Mew only if you have save data from this game. Like, that's at least a final. It makes it still semi-hard to get. Like, you can't just, like, play the game normally. You have to have had the other game. So, at least it kind of, like, you, if, like, hopefully it's more of, like, you had the story in those games and then be able to get it. Like, if they did that in the SV DLC, like, you could get a, you know, a Cub Foo if you had Swish data. At least that, I think I'm okay with. That I'm fine with.
I would have been okay with that. I don't think Pokemon like Zarude, even Volcanion, the way it was presented, just don't need to exist.
Deancey, Hoopa.
Yeah, I'm just...
Oh, yeah, Hoopa, yeah.
It's so funny that I get more story about Hoopa from freaking Pokemon Masters than I do anything else.
No, you're not wrong, though. Like, mythical Pokemon are just... They're kind of wasted in modern day, and... I don't know, especially when it's just like, here's a mystery gift to get your Mew. I don't see the problem with BDSP being like, hey, if you played these games, here's these Pokemon that are really hard to get otherwise.
I guess. Like I said, you know, they seem to give away Mew at every opportunity they can. So it's almost like it's not really mythical anyways.
I don't know. I don't know if they've done it in a while, in all honesty. Let me look. I'm gonna.
Well, they did it like, what was it, like a purchase or was it one or two games you could get a Mew?
Yeah, okay, but they got a lot of flack for it wasn't for games. It was you got Mew if you bought the Pokemon Go Plus Pokeball.
You got that. Yeah, I remember that. I mean, you get Mew once in Pokemon Go anyways.
If you play Pokemon Go and you did the research, yes.
You do the research.
Yeah, and you only get it there. You don't get it anywhere else. Like, you have to, I don't think you can transfer it.
Yeah, you can't actually transfer it to home. Fun fact.
The Mew? Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I'm 90% sure. I can check it.
I'm pretty sure you cannot transfer the Mew.
I'm going to check this right now because I could have sworn you could.
Like, there's a...
I thought the only things you couldn't transfer were, like, the hat Pokemon and all that stuff, the costumes.
No. There's some random Pokemon that you just, like, can't.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Let me see here. This is exciting radio here. I'm going to pull this open.
I know. It's really good radio. I mean, to be fair, I pulled it open too, but it's fine.
You actually opened your account.
I found it wasn't downloaded on my phone for some reason.
Oops.
Yeah. I just had to relink all my Nintendo accounts and everything. It was time.
I don't even know how to do this anymore. I haven't touched this in a long time.
You go to like settings and connected games.
Yeah.
And you should find home there.
Oh, devices. Here we go. Yeah, yep.
Playing around with some of the Pokemon in Scarlet Violet and seeing some of the, you know, people posting on Twitter, like, little clips. Like, the models do look good. They still look good in SV.
They look better.
No, Pokemon has been doing a decent job at, like, the models. The problem was they used models as the excuse very early on.
Oh, yeah. Like, we're not doing any of these mods.
We're not putting all the mods in because we're working on redoing the models. And then, they put in the same models. And everybody's just like, what's going on?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the point?
If they would have given us the same excuse for Dexit, I think, and then given us Scarlet and Violet instead of Sword and Shield, I think the blowback would have almost been non-existent.
I disagree. People would still have been mad about it.
People would still be mad about it. I think a much smaller group of people would be mad about it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
I think that's optimistic of you. I think they would have still been a very loud vocal part of the community who would have been angry.
I also think if Pokemon Home and like the vision that we see for Pokemon Home now existed, I think it would have been better as well if they would have been transparent about the intention.
Yeah, like if they had communicated it, like this is what they're doing with Home, and therefore don't worry, it's not going to be in all games, but we're creating a bigger ecosystem. And yeah, no, I agree.
Like if they would have said, hey, we've got bigger visions for how to do it, I think it would have made more sense, right? Like, I still have minor issues with this because there's still like a very small group of Pokemon that just don't have a place on Switch, or once they get into Home, they don't have a place, which I do not like. I really want that to be remedied. Like, I want every Pokemon to have a place on a game that can connect to Pokemon Home. And the one that I'm mostly worried about is, based on leaks and stuff from the data, is still Furfru.
Oh, freaking, yeah, Furfru, please.
Furfru is, like, the only one that I'm, like, genuinely concerned doesn't have a spot. Furfru, like, one, I'm not, like, a super big Furfru fan, but, you know, somebody probably is.
Yeah.
I like its forms.
It's kind of, especially if it gets, like, singled out, it kind of feels bad.
Mm-hmm.
because I think the only Pokemon missing after like the latest like look at the data for probably what's in the DLC, I think is like the elemental monkeys and Furfru. I think that's literally it.
Yeah, I think that's the big, those are like the big ones.
Yeah, those are the most like, you know.
Oh, Blitzel and Zebstrika.
No, Blitzel and Zebstrika are confirmed for DLC. Like that is actually confirmed by the Pokemon company.
Yeah.
Oh, confirmed for DLC. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, oh, they, I guess the...
They are confirmed for Scarlet Violet DLC. There was a list of Pokemon that was... So they kind of did the same thing where they telegraphed for DLC which Pokemon are going to be in it because of the... they, like, empty their dex entries or something. And so we actually know which Pokemon don't have those in Scarlet and Violet. So it ends up being like, you know, an additional like 200, 250 Pokemon, which is to be expected, which is great. I mean, I have no problems with this.
You know, my big thing is I could bring back. So like for me, there's certain mons that are like pretty nostalgic for me,
mm-hmm.
Including like, you know, like when my daughter was first born and I was staying up late with her, you know.
Yeah.
Doing that. And I was playing through the games again, some of the games again. And I have like these mons from that. So they're kind of like, you know, special. I was able to bring some of them back to the game and like actually use them again for the first time in a couple of years. And like that kind of stuff is just great.
Mm-hmm.
I think Pokemon Home as a product is a great idea. I think the subscription cost is a little high for what it is. Though this latest update, I think, is a lot bigger than what a lot of people give it credit for.
Yes.
Because it does like have this move thing that's going on and it's introducing the backwards compatibility. So at first, when we were waiting for it to come out, I'm like, why is it taking so long? Pokemon Bank, for instance, when it first came out 3 months after the release of X and Y, or was at least scheduled to come out even mm-hmm. 2 months after X and Y. You know, after Sun and Moon came out, it was 3 months later. And then Pokemon Home took a little bit longer after Sword and Shield, but it was still like within February, March timeframe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was February because it was in the middle of UUTC. We had to change format.
Yeah. And so Pokemon Home came out in a reasonable time. And then like the last one was pretty bad. Pokemon Home compatibility for Legends Arceus and BDSP didn't happen until like June or July,
mm-hmm.
which was really bad. And this one was looking the same way. And I'm like, what's taking it so long? Like, I don't understand. And looking at this, I absolutely do, because backwards compatibility is like the big thing.
Yeah.
Being able to move the Pokemon from game to game, allowing again for move reset. I love move reset in Scarlet Violet, by the way. It is something I have been waiting for so long, mostly for competitive Pokemon, because it has allowed such rampant abuse of like Gen 3 exclusive moves.
Right.
On certain Pokemon. I really enjoy that a lot of like recovery moves got nerfed on PP, so you can't stall as badly. I mean, obviously they're trying to get people to move away from stall because that's why they killed Timer and whatnot.
Yeah.
Sad.
Killed that, killed recovery, and yeah.
Sad.
I mean, it's okay, because I also did not enjoy, like, 40-minute battles, if that makes sense.
I like stall.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't really like 40-minute battles. It makes my brain hurt, and I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really like not having to be toxic stalled by every Pokemon that's ever existed. I really enjoy that. I also enjoy that Scald got removed from a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot of moves that I noticed, and yeah, Scald was one of them that I was like, when I was redoing my Mon's moves, when I was bringing them over, because that was actually pretty time consuming.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, these moves no longer exist, and then I looked them up, and I was like, yep, they don't get them this gen.
Yep. There's a few that don't, and unlike with Swish, where if you had the wrong move, like if you had a move that didn't exist, like Hidden Power, it stayed on your Mon.
Yeah, that was awkward.
But you just, it literally just says, I can't do anything.
Yeah, I can't do anything.
Let some people who are like, you know, I know some people, I watch some like people who do like, you know, fun free for all type like things with their friends on YouTube.
Yeah.
And one of them would bring like assault vest, like, you know, struggle type things. And so you could actually, because of like hidden power not working, you could literally just go choice band struggle just because it's funny.
Right. That's hilarious.
That's silly.
Yeah, because it's like you can't click the moves, so therefore you but you still have a move, so now you can actually legit just struggle.
Choice band struggle is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a really interesting move. I kind of like it just because you see this grander plan just forming that they've had for the ecosystem. it softens the blow of Dexit. I'm not sure that it's entirely,
it does.
It's not entirely gone, but the blow has been softened. And I think this is like the soft landing of Pokemon, right? Like, this is what we want the future of Pokemon to be. We want you to be able to take Pokemon and move them around and play all these games and have a really good time with it, right? I do think it's a little nasty that VGC is allowing some of the Pokemon from Legends Arceus in it this season.
Or this upcoming one. It's going to be very interesting, I'm going to say.
I'm all for it. The thing that just feels icky, again, is that, like, Enamorous is only allowed... it's only available in PLA. Same with, like, Weirdeer, which probably won't be competitively relevant.
I think the big one is Ursaluna, is the big flag.
Yeah, Ursaluna.
Yeah, Ursaluna.
That's the... I think, just...
That's my only worry, is that, like, you have to go pay for another $60 game if you didn't already do it. If you're playing legit, right? Which, yes. if you follow Kurt on Twitter, does not seem to be the case for most top players anyway, but.
There was something, I don't know the specifics, so I'm not going to comment too much on it, but there was something happening with one of the nationals related to that. I have no clue if that was real or not, but there was something that, you know, with the top four.
Is anyone that surprised, though?
Somebody got DQ'd, I think. Somebody got DQ'd. I don't remember why.
I thought it was somewhat related to that. I'm not sure. But I definitely know that, yeah, Kurt does tend to give a good go through the look at all those teams and scrubs through them.
Yeah, no, Kurt doesn't, and it's really fun. To be fair, there are still, like, a fair number of legal teams. But those people who do the legal teams, like, more power to you guys.
Yeah, good luck getting the zero speed EV Ursaluna.
The zero speed... Well, that's not hard. That's probably not as hard.
Actually, that's not as hard. Cresselia
for sure.
Because that one's going to be a VGC one. That's going to be a big VGC mon, just because it's pretty tanky right now. There's not really too much that threatens Cress. And Ursaluna is probably the Pokemon I think that people are fearing the most in VGC. I mean, yeah, you have Landorus Therian back, and yeah, a few other, and like Urshifu and Regieleki, but...
Lando got its wings clipped. I don't feel as scared of it.
Ursaluna Trick Room is going to be scary when like, another tanky Pokemon like Glastrier is still two-hit KO'd by Guts Facade Ursaluna in the snow. Yeah, that's a scary mon.
I think I got a lot of my feelings out. Maybe not in the most organized way, but I definitely got them out.
Yeah. I'll just add that the move animations, the old ones, they still look pretty good. It's definitely different when you have something like Behemoth Bash or like Behemoth Blade, where you, back in Swish, where you had the, you know, the full black screen where it looked like a whole cinematic thing. You lose that because of just the nature of SV. But you still you still get the cool looking, like, you know, Zacian, like, getting up and doing his little slash and the little cuts come through. You still get that, but it's definitely doesn't hit the same. It's just something just to, like, you know, that's just the way that the game is designed. You just kind of have to accept you lose the cinematics for being able to do open world.
Right.
Yeah. All right, though. Yeah, I think this is a good place to stop. A lot of Pokemon Home. I mean, Pokemon Home, like, I really like the vision. Keep it going, I guess. And please let me evolve Stantler in Scarlet Violet.
Yes, please. Let them in. Let them work. Let them work.
That's literally all I want. That's all I want.
Mm-hmm.
All right, though. We're going to go ahead and we're going to kick it on over then to our Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you on the flip-flop.
Episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the Episode. Our Pokemon of the Episode this week is National Dex 901, Ursaluna, the Pete Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Legends Arceus entry reads, I believe it was Hisui's swampy terrain that gave Ursaluna its burly physique and newfound capacity to manipulate Pete at will.
Wow. Ursaluna is the evolved form of Ursaring, and it's also ground normal type, which is a unique type to itself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually pretty cool.
Wait, is it?
I believe so. What other ground normal type can you think of? Oh, Diggersby.
Rabbit.
Diggersby. Yeah, never mind. I lied.
Yeah, no.
I lied.
But unlike Diggersby, this thing has stupidly high bulk, and that's what's making it's making a lot of noise so far in both OU and VGC.
Yeah, it's very bulky.
Probably the best Trick Room Pokemon.
I mean, it is 130 HP, 140 attack, 105 defense, 80 special defense, 45 special attack because it's just optimized to like do its thing, and then 50 speed. Like, this thing is insane. Like, 130 HP is huge, especially with that defense stat. Like, that's huge. Right.
Even the special defense, which is 80, like, it still is still, like, able to live, like, focus blasts.
And it gets good moves. I mean, it gets headlong rush, which is pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
It gets headlong rush. It gets, you know, high horsepower. I mean, mm-hmm. its move pool isn't that.
Earthquake, facade, all the punches, because it's an Ursa ring normally.
Yep.
Right.
It's got Swords Dance in its kit.
It's not bad. Like, its move pool is pretty decent.
Play rough. Yeah, it's got coverage for whatever you want it to.
Yep. Right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
With Guts, Flame Orb, it's going to just destroy things.
Yep. I'm assuming we'll get a way to evolve it in Scarlet and Violet. Please, for the love of God, please let us do it. Yeah. I really hate the idea that the evolution's going to be locked to PLA.
Only for
convenience sake, right? Yeah, like, it's not like I couldn't do it if I didn't want to, but it's just like, just for convenience. I don't want to have to breed the Pokemon on whatever game that I care, or breed it to the Ursa, then send it to home, and then send it to PLA, and then open PLA, and then go evolve it, and then open up the home, and then transfer it to home, and then open up Scarlet, and they put in the Scarlet and Violet, and just get it back. Like, I'm literally
doing that as we speak. I literally took a shiny from Go and just dropped it into SV first, because then I EV'd it.
Yeah.
I dropped all the EVs, I dropped, you know, EXP to get it to Ursa Ring, and now I'm just waiting to go get my PLA copy so I could get it to Ursaluna, and then I could have my shiny Ursaluna and Scarlet Violet.
This is definitely making me feel really happy for downloading all of my games onto the Switch, so I don't have to physically swap out all these cartridges.
Oh, yeah. No, that's actually a very rational thought there.
Yeah.
it makes me very happy in that regards. Mm. But yes, Ursa, we got a team today. This is an OU team.
I have used it a little, and it is a lot of fun. If you're a fan of Trick Room, this is the team for you.
This is very Trick Room heavy.
It is very Trick Room heavy. Oh my gosh. It is on 1, 2, 3, only three? Oh, okay. Well,
three Trick Room users, but 5 new Homemons. So
yes, 5 new Homemons. Yes, Ursaluna is obviously on the team. It's holding a Flame Orb. It's got Guts. It Terra's into normal, so you can hit even harder, because even though you are full HP, full attack, with your brave nature, Earthquake, Facade will hit like a truck, if you Terra into normal. You also have Fire Punch for coverage, and you have Swords Dance, just in case your, base 140 attack stat wasn't doing it for you.
Yeah. Fun fact, this Ursaluna's Earthquake is a 2-hit KO on Great Tusk, which is one of the bigger physical checks.
Oh, wow.
In the
format, gosh. There you
go. Yeah, no, it's stupidly good.
Yeah, that is actually insane.
Mm-hmm.
I will also take this other one down here. There's a King Gambit on this team because it's Pokemon Scarlet and Violet. And we've got the ability Supreme Overlord. It has the Terra type Fire, adamant nature, 240 HP, probably because you got 116 speed, probably to outspeed very small things.
Yeah, just a few slow things that.
Yeah,
you know.
A few slow things outside of Trick Room. But then you get 252 attack. It probably, because I believe King Gambit's got a base 50 speed. You correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's 50 speed.
So it just outspeeds zero speed Ursaluna. you could Kowtow Cleave, Iron Head, Sucker Punch, and Swords Dance.
Yeah, this is usually a good cleaner after you kind of do other things, and then in Trick Room it'll clean. Outside Trick Room, Sucker Punch is still a thing, and Fire deals with its weaknesses.
Yep. All right, so I will let somebody take two more of these Pokemon.
All right, I will go ahead and take Magearna, which is one of the first of the Trick Room users. It's definitely one of the more common leads you can do, but it's still, like, you don't, it doesn't like leading it versus Heatran, but otherwise it's still like one of the best Pokemon in this format right now.
Mm-hmm.
It is holding a Jetpack with the abilities Soul Heart, Terra Type Fairy, Max HP, Mass Special Attack, Force Bedef, Quiet Nature, No Attack, or Speed IVs. It has Floor Cannon, Thunderbolt, Focus Blast, and Trick Room. So you usually just like Trick Room and then click Floor Cannon and just eject packed out to pivot into Ursaluna or one of your other Pokemon just to be able to break, because Ursaluna can tank hits. Mm-hmm. So that's why it makes it so good. And, you know, you have good coverage with Thunderbolt and Focus Blast otherwise. So, that. And Magearna may not last by the time this episode airs. At the worst case, I would just swap in like a Hatterene, just for the short term, just with to fill in this Trick Room spot. But otherwise, use this while you can. Use Magearna. It is really good. The other Pokemon I'll talk about here is one of your other Trick Room sweepers is Glastrier. With Heavy Duty Boots, ability Chilling Nay, Terra Type Electric, Max HP, Max Attack, 8 Sp Attack. I guess that's one of the, that probably should just be Defense because Terra Blast is funky when you do EVs. It's a Brave Nature. It has Swords Dance, Terra Blast, Stomping Tantrum, Icicle Crash. This mon is really good in Trick Room, and just like, Baxcalibur, you want the bolt beam type coverage you can get out of this.
Yeah. Take us home, Mark.
Well, next we have Cresselia with Mental Herb. Got that Levitate action, Terra type Fighting, 252 HP, 124 defense, 80 special attack, and 52 speed. Got that Bold Nature with some Trick Room, of course, Ice Beam, Lunar Dance, and a Terra Blast for good measure. So, you know, doing Trick Room things here as well.
Generally you just Lunar Dance with it because you just need to pivot. You just want to get Ursaluna or Glastrier in as often as you can. So you let Ursaluna tank the first hit, then you bring in Cresselia, then you Lunar Dance, and then your Ursaluna is back at full health.
Yeah. And finally, last but not least, we got Slowking from Galar with a Shuka Berry. Got Regenerator, of course, Terra type Water, 252 HP, 252 defense, and 4 special defense with a relaxed nature. And got Trick Room, Chilly Reception, Psychic, and Flamethrower.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, good old
Because Galar. Chilly Reception is really good because most Pokemon lose Teleport. This is one of the slow pivoting moves that you get. And Chilly Reception with Glastrier making it even more bulky than it is really good.
Yeah. All right. So that is the team. These will be up for patrons as soon as things are updated on the bot. It is still waiting for the final home updates to come through. My expectation is probably sometime this week. So please bear with us as we do wait. I plan on giving out a lot of goodies to you guys once it is out. Also, if you're even not a patron, watch out. Follow us for our advent calendar in July.
Christmas in July,
shocker. Yeah, it's only because our advent calendar wasn't as fun this year because we didn't have all of the updates to go to Scarlet and Violet quite yet. So I am looking forward to the ability to be able to just like give you guys a ton of stuff this July. So definitely look out for that. There will be extra goodies for patrons as well. We'll announce more as the month progresses and I'm not on vacation. So look out for that. All right. So with that news, guys, we're going to go ahead and we're going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time. It's time for the mailbag. Send in your emails.
Welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and we'll probably read your email on the show. Last week we asked you guys what your Pokemon journey was, a question we had asked before, so we've got that pool of emails. We're going to pull 3 more out of the bag for that today. But, of course, this segment is brought to you by the energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves!
Hooves!
And we'll give the Green Tauros badge to anybody we deem worthy. But we've got a few Pokemon journeys for you guys today, and our first one is going to come to you from Tucrow. Tucrow.
Hello, Puckle Crew. As someone who bought Pokemon Blue when it first came out, my Pokemon journey with Pokemon is extensive. Here's my part bullet points. I'm not sure how I first discovered Pokemon was a thing, as I played the game first and watched the anime second. All I remember is I was hooked right away, and Yellow was the first video game I ever saved up for. Every time after that, I would buy each new game as they came out, including both versions of each generation. Why buy both? One version as my primary game, and the other to keep resetting whatever I wanted to replay that generation.
I have the same thing.
Oh yeah, no, I don't disagree. I definitely did that as I had money. Gen 3 became my favorite generation because of the changes and additions that advanced the game's mechanics. I think I spent more time in my original Sapphire than I did any other version. Sometime around Gen 6, I started playing a little less because replaying the same game over and over again was getting stale. However, I then discovered how to randomize games, and suddenly the old felt so new. Since then, I only play randomizers of older games, and someday plan to learn to randomize Switch games. I started collecting the trading cards right away, but being a kid, I could never keep up with the expansions and quit. After I started listening to Puckle, the talk of TCG inspired me to finish collecting the first three sets. I'm done with base one.
Oh.
Almost done with jungle and fossil. Just a few more to go.
Oh, nice.
That's not cheap.
Yeah.
No.
Take care, Tucrow 48.
Sweet.
So I've been like buying some old TCG cards for a cube so that whenever we all get together again, we can play it. And even like Mark would be able to feel nostalgia.
Yeah. I know these cards.
Yeah, the cube I'm building is the first four sets of the TCG. So it's base set, fossil, jungle, and rocket. And buying the cards has been kind of an insane journey for it. The reason you play rocket is so you can still have Charizard, but not have to buy like the stupid Charizard.
Uh-huh.
That's like a bajillion dollars.
Which is still somehow worth a lot of money.
So you can play dark Charizard instead. But it's, man, some of those cards aren't cheap. Like, just buying the Raichus I needed, it was, like, $25 a Raichu. The Jolteons were, like, $25 a piece. It's been a journey. Like, I've just been slowly buying it. And I think I'm just about done. I think there's, like, a few cards I need.
Oh, nice.
Like, maybe two or three. And then it's ready to go, and I'll test it out with some friends here. And then next time Puckle people get together, we're gonna cube it up.
Nice.
Like, if I would have had that cube ready, like, when we went to Arlington, and we had, like, Shark, Shamu, and Seth and I, we would have just done it then.
Oh, yeah. No, 1,000%.
It's a good time. But yeah. No, thank you for that, Tucrow. Our next one is going to come to us from Tobin's. Howdy, Puckle fans. Tobin's here. I've been listening for a few years and I have posted a couple times with the trivia section of Discord, but this is my first email. I've been wanting to write in for a while and thought this topic was the perfect opportunity. Like many American kids, I was engulfed by the Pokemania of the late 90s. I do remember that. The Pokemania was the best. When Pokemon made its way to the States, I was in kindergarten, so I don't remember my first exact encounter with the franchise. However, I do know that my first game was Pokemon Blue. I also distinctly remember the first card I owned as a Weepinbell from Jungle that I got as a kid at church camp, which I still have to this day, and in all of its crumpled glory.
Nice.
During my childhood, I dove headfirst into the video games, cards, and anime. I was all in. Even my 8th birthday was entirely Pokemon-themed, presents and all. One of my prized possessions as a kid was my Psyduck plush. He got so beat up from me taking him everywhere that one of his eyes fell off and we had to do surgery with a hot glue gun. Something about the franchise gripped me in an unexplainable way. Gen 3 was peak Pokemon in my life. The video games were my main focus. I had virtually every mainline and spinoff game at the time, including Pokemon Box, Ruby, and Sapphire, which I still kick myself for selling, as you should. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So there's a video game store down the street from my house, called Vacuums and Video Games. It's mostly video games now, but they still do like vacuum cleaner repair. Very weird. I went down there though the other day just to like see, what they had. Like, I was just curious. I like walked in the door and man, one, they actually are doing a lot of video game business. They're starting to get into cards as well. So like I could buy some singles there that I need, not a lot of them, but some. And they have a copy of Pokemon Box, Ruby and Sapphire. But it's just sitting there because I don't know who is going to walk over there and be like, here's $2,000. One day, maybe I'll own a copy of Pokemon Box, Ruby and Sapphire. Maybe one day.
One day.
One day. But not right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have fond memories of scaling Mount Battle in the Ore games, attempting the Battle Frontier in Emerald, and even messing around on the tech demo that is Pokemon Channel. To this day, Pokemon Emerald is one of my favorite and most played games. I am actually currently playing an enhanced version, which is called Pokemon Revelation, in order to beat the Battle Frontier. It's a ROM hack that includes a multitude of quality of life features that has made it even more enjoyable playing Gen 3. I will have to look into that. I've been meaning to get like an R4 cart so I can play like Gen 3 ROM hacks on like a physical console. So I definitely want to, maybe I'll try that out. Maybe this will be the motivation. I played Gen 4, but shortly after I went through the phase TM, you know, the one where Pokemon isn't cool anymore and that many of us, barring Thatch, I don't know if I appreciate that call out or not, went through in our teen years. So all the way from 8th grade through my master's degree, I was completely in the dark on the Pokemon world. I completely skipped Gens 5 through 7. The summer after I completed my master's, a random wave of nostalgia hit me. I had the sudden urge to see what happened in Pokemon since I left. I was pleasantly surprised to see such amazing enhancements in the game, such as Fairy type and Mega Evolution. I went out and immediately bought Y, Alpha Sapphire, and Ultra Moon. Playing those games, I had the same feelings of joy as I did when I first discovered Pokemon. At the end of that summer, I discovered Puckle. Interestingly, I had just moved to Columbus, Ohio, and to start my doctorate degree at Ohio State.
Oh.
Oh, hey, I did that. It was so cool to find a community of people so passionate and knowledgeable about Pokemon. I've been a weekly listener ever since. I especially enjoyed following the hype seasons of Swish, PLA, and SV with y'all. Thank you for being so committed to this podcast and the community as a whole. I hope to engage more with the community in the future, and I will certainly keep listening. Best, Tubins. I was just at Ohio State the other week for work. So, wow. Thank you for that one, Tubins. All right. This next one is going to be, and our last one is going to be from EV. Mark, you've got this one.
Yeah. So EV says, hey, Puckle people, the real EV here. I'm digging everyone's Pokemon journeys I've heard so far. It's so amazing to hear that we've had these great experiences. Pokemon has been a constant in my life from me starting my Pokemon journey to me teaching my younger brothers how to and now my children how to play Pokemon. It has been a constant thing in my life. One of the favorite things I've tried to do with Pokemon was collect all the toys so I can use them as avatars for the cards. So I can feel like I'm having a real life Pokemon battle when I go to play TCG as a young child.
Okay, but that's cool. That's cool.
That is fun. I like
that. He had the Yu-Gi-Oh dream, but for Pokemon.
Yeah. I really miss the days that we would get all these weird obscure Pokemon products, like a couple people have mentioned before. The Jelly Jar was actually the best, and I wish mine hadn't been lost to me. Another thing I want to bring up about my Pokemon journey is everyone in Puckle writing into the podcast, hanging out with people on streams, and just having community to come to for so many years now. If it wasn't for Pokemon, none of us would be here, and with these amazing friendships and bonds that we've made throughout the years. So, well, guys, I'm going to get back to the Unite grind. Your least favorite evolution, the real Eevee signing out.
Well, thank you for that. All right. I always love reading these because there's so many good stories.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
But yeah. All right. I want to give Tubins the badge if you guys don't mind.
I agree.
Yeah, it works.
Tubins.
Yeah.
Let's go with Tubins.
You get it. You get the Green Taurus badge. If I can't find you, somebody will. And
yay.
If not, message one of us.
Just ask.
All right. On that note, though, if you want to email us next week, you can email us letting us know what you think of the Pokemon Home release. Do you like the vision that we have for Pokemon Go now? Let us know. PokePodcast@gmail.com. But if you want to keep up with us throughout the week, the best way to do so is go to our Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. Chill. Hang out. You have a good time. Additionally, you can go ahead and follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can go ahead and also follow us on YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast, where Sigma's been putting up some videos. I also need to get back to streaming, which probably won't happen until July, honestly, because I have to go on vacation next weekend. We'll have to definitely consider that. Additionally, we have to. You can always help support the show in a couple ways. One, you can go over to our Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. We will be giving away Pokemon once again once the bot is updated. We will also go ahead and we also have our coupon code if you are buying TCG products over at Troll and Toad. You can use code PucklePod5 at checkout to get 5% off your order, and we get a kickback as well. So we really appreciate everybody who's used the code so far. We really appreciate the support. All right then, guys. That means it's all for today. So I have been Trainer Thatch.
I'm Mark.
I'm Shark Finnegan.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Side.